4. Anathem. 6 weeks after I joined the Adharian Order, I became hopelessly stuck on a problem that one of Orlo's knee-huggers had set for me as a way of letting me know that I didn't really understand what it meant for two hypersurfaces to be tangent. I went out for a stroll. Without really thinking about it, I crossed the frozen river and wandered into the stand of page trees that grew on the rise between the Decade Gate and the Century Gate. Despite the best efforts of the sequencers who had brought these trees into being, only 1 leaf in 10 was high-grade page material, suitable for a typical quarto-sized book. The most common flaw was smallness or irregularity, such that, when placed in the cutting frame, it would not make a rectangle. That was the case for about 4 out of 10 leaves, more during cold or dry years, fewer if the growing season had been favorable. Holes gnawed by insects or thick veins that made it difficult to write on the underside might render a leaf unusable, save as compost. These flaws were especially common in leaves that grew near the ground. The best yield was to be found in the middle branches, not too far out from the trunk. The arbortex had given them stout boughs in the midsection, easy for young ones to clamber on. Every autumn, when I'd been a fid, I'd spent a week up on those branches, picking the best leaves and skimming them down to older of out to stack them in baskets. Later in the day, we'd tie them by their stems to lines stretched from tree to tree and let them dry as the weather turned colder. After the first killing frost, we would bring them indoors, stack them, and pile on tons of flat rocks. It took about a century for them to age properly. So once we'd gotten the current year's crop under stone, we'd go back and find similar piles that had been made about 100 years earlier and, if they seemed ready, take the rocks off and peel the leaves apart. The good ones we stacked in the cutting frames and made into blank pages for distribution to the consent, or for binding into books. I'd rarely gone into the coppice after harvest time. To walk through it in this season was to be reminded that we only collected a small fraction of its leaves. The rest curled up and fell off. All those blank pages made an uproar as I sloshed through them, searching for one especially grand tree I'd always loved to climb. My memory played me false, and I wandered lost for a few minutes. When I finally found it, I couldn't resist climbing up to its lower boughs. When I had done this as a boy, I had imagined myself deep in the middle of a vast forest, which was much more romantic than being walled up in a math surrounded by casinos and tire stores. But now, with the branches bare, it was plain that I was close to the eastern limit of the coppice. The ivy-snarled ruin of Shuf's Dalmont was in plain sight. I felt foolish, thinking Arcibald must have seen me from a window, so I let myself to the ground and began walking that way. Arcibald now spent most of his days there. He had been pestering me to come out and visit him, and I'd been making excuses. I couldn't slink away now. I had to get over a low hedge that bounded the coppice. Shoving the snarled foliage out of my way, I felt cold stone against my hand, pain an instant later. This was actually a stone wall that had become a trellis for whatever would grow on it. I vaulted over it and spent some time yanking my bolt and cord free from hedge plants. I was standing on someone's tangle, brown and shriveled now. The black earth was gouged where people had been digging up the last potatoes of the season. Going over the wall made me feel as though I were trespassing. To elicit such feelings was probably why Shuf's lineage had put it there in the first place, and that explained why those who had found themselves on the wrong side of that wall had eventually become fed up with it and broken the lineage. Tearing the wall down was too much trouble, and so that work had been left to ants and ivy. The reformed old Fanians had more recently got in the habit of using this place as a retreat, and when no one had objected, they'd slowly begun to make themselves more comfortable there